somebody that can never get out of your knocking. Anytime God
exposes himself to the Lord right now.
And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was changed.
Father, we give you praise. Lord, as we hear your word, it becomes a mighty seed in our spirit in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, somebody once asked me, he said, is it heaven not going to be boring? If we are going to go to heaven and just sing in heaven and just be worshiping in heaven, heaven will be boring. I'll get tired. When the person made that statement, that really got me thinking. Because if you get tired of worshiping God, that means maybe you have been tired some one or two times on the earth. If you know how that is important to what we're about to talk about today, let me tell you, the true believer will never get tired of worshiping God. Do you hear what I said? You never get tired. Your body may be weary, but your soul will never get tired. Especially because in heaven, why they worship God again and again is because every single time they worship, a revelation of God is revealed, which propels them to worship again. And when they worship again, another revelation of God is revealed. And they have never seen that revelation of God repeated all through the ages. So whenever that revelation of God is revealed, they have to worship. Yes, sir. If I try to unpack that will deviate me from my sermon. But you see this in Isaiah chapter 6. They see a dimension of God and they say holy. They see another dimension of God and they say holy. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Have you been blessed by our teaching series so far? Oh my God, Jesus. Have you been blessed so far? That means... Please, I want to beg you. Be an intentional student. I pray for you. Your heart is open in Jesus' name. Today, we want to talk about assurance. Say after me, assurance. Assurance. Hey, Jesus. Say after me, assurance. Assurance. Throughout the month of May, we talked about who remembers teachings in May? Is there a God? Can the Bible be trusted? Did Jesus rise? This is the gospel. Gospel Essentials, part 1, 2, and 3. Passcode, how is a man saved? Today we want to talk about how do you know that you are saved? Or how do I know I am saved? How do I know I am saved? Oh my God. This will do two things. This teaching will do two things. Number one, it will help you discern where you are. Whether you are saved or not. You know, Hebrews chapter 13 verse 5 says, examine yourselves whether you are in defeat. Examine yourselves. Now, for you to examine yourself, there has to be some criteria for you to check for, right? So, it will help you discern where you are. Also, it will help you discern other people. And it will give you a real, genuine Christian body. Are you with me? It will give you a real, genuine Christian body to discern where a person is. It will help you discern how far a person has come in a spiritual journey. It will even help you discern properly, has this person even started? Praise the Lord. Also, it will give you great joy. Yes. It will give you great peace about what you have and what you have found in Christ. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10 from verse 22. We are talking about assurance. How do I know I am saved? This is a very important Bible study. Please, do we agree that this is an important Bible study? How do I know I am saved? It's funny. Let me tell you. See, it's funny the way there are some things I see. I'm just concerned. When a person is preaching and saying something like this, I heard it years ago. I don't know if people still preach like that. You may have heard somebody preach, doing evangelism, preaching like this. We don't know who will make heaven. We don't know who is saved. But I am assuring you, you should hear what I'm saying. You know what I'm talking about, right? Yes, how can you be preaching like, how can you be telling me to come into something you are not sure of? You are not sure of yourself in that thing. How are you getting me? Imagine a doctor with a syringe saying, I'm not sure this can work. But I'm not sure this can actually treat you, but I just want you to accept it. Just receive it. You say, sir, wait first. Are you with me? There gets to a point in your Christian journey where you have to be, what am I really doing? Where am I? Are you getting this? What's this stuff about? Hebrews chapter 10 verse 22. The Bible says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Say after me, full assurance of faith. Say with a loud voice, full assurance of faith. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Amen. Glory. Say after me, full assurance. Why is assurance important? The next text, 23. It says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and unto good works. Verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Why is assurance important? Assurance is the basic foundation that must be laid before any other spiritual commitment. Without assurance, all these things he's saying, he cannot talk about them. The only reason why you can hold fast the profession of your faith is because you have full assurance of faith already. Are you getting me? If all I've said may sound confusing, let me give you a better insight. This may hurt some people, but please, I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to explain something, right? Yes, sir. Have you gone to a shop before to buy something? And you want to maybe test the shoe, or you want to test the cloth, they'll tell you pay first. Have you been in that situation before? Yes, sir. And you're like, sir, let me just say, pay first before you open this thing. Pay first. You know what the person is looking for? Assurance. Because you may put your leg inside that thing and that thing may never remain the same again. The person is looking for assurance. Assurance is a very important subject too. Why do ladies wait for people to give them ring before they commit? They will ask the lady, has he proposed? They'll say, no, has he come to see your parents? Has he given you ring? Let me tell you a personal experience. I'll find trouble. Years ago, I was dating a girl. And I was so sure I was going to marry that girl. So one day, I was talking to a mother in the Lord. And I was telling her about everything. She told me, my son, have you given her a ring? I said, no. Has she carried you to see her parents? I said, we are working on it. She just looked at me and said, ah. She said, hey. She said, they will slay you. And truly, I was lied. No, I'm serious. You know what she was asking me? Have you given that girl enough assurance? In fact, the scenario was that the lady traveled and was not going to be around for a long time. She said, this one that you are not seeing this lady for 5 months, 6 months. He said, David, they will invite you for the wedding. And there are some people, they need to invite them for a wedding. There are some brothers like that. That if you allow them, they will date you for 5 years. 4 years BSc and one NYSC. They need to invite them so that they, you know, sorry. I'm sorry. Because you're wasting the person's time. You're wasting the person's time. Give the person assurance. It's not that you will not give ring and leave it at ring before it's become key holder. After ring, go forward. Give the person, say after me, full assurance. Why do companies give offer letter? Assurance. Okay, you can start working. Resume on Monday. You feed a work 1 month, 2 months. And then you say, where is my salary? The nurse said, did we give you an offer letter? You cannot take them to court. Though. There is no letter. You were visiting the office. Guess what? It has happened to me before too. Some of you know what I'm talking about, right? You are just working. So employment, that letter is assurance that you are not just an attendee or you are not just a visitor to this office. You are now part of this office. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Assurance. Say after me, assurance.
Assurance.
Assurance is a very important subject. That's the same reason why companies give admission letter. Sorry, schools, give admission letter. Can you see me? Maybe God is in my spirit. New jobs are coming for some people in Jesus' name. I'm saying. Praise the Lord. You get the point?
Yes, sir.
It's the basis for all Christian devotion and commitment. How sure are you that you are inside? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, there are two major doctrines on the subject of salvation that people struggle with. It is the doctrine of security and the doctrine of assurance. So, the doctrine of security is the commitment of God to the saved in salvation. The doctrine of security is the commitment of God to the saved in salvation. So the doctrine of security would sound something like this. It is the same power that saves that will keep you. Are you with me? We will talk about this more later. Next week, Wednesday. The same power that saves a man is the same power that will keep the man. You will see scriptures that highlight this doctrine in 1 Peter chapter 1 from verse 3 to 5. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Now see verse 5. Everybody read verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Are you seeing this? So he's saying that the people who have been begotten again by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, they are kept by the power of God. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
They are kept. Say after me, I am kept by the power of God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I want to find trouble.
Media, you see this background on the LED screen? Remove it in Jesus' name. Put another thing. I am tired of seeing it. Praise the Lord. He's doing me like AIT. Praise God. The YouTube team, the way they did this one out. In Jesus' name. Find another thing I'll put there. Look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 6.
Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. It says, being confident of this very thing. This is a text for you to rejoice with. Read it. 1, 2, 3, go. Being confident of this very thing, that he which had begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Hey, he has begun a good work in me. He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Glory! So this is the doctrine of security. Are you with me? So it is true that Christ saves, and those he saves, he keeps. Are you with me? But a follow-up question to this is, how do you know that you are part of those that he has saved? How do you know that you are part of those he's going to keep? Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
You know, there has been an argument for as long as the church has been about the doctrine of eternal security. That if a person is saved, he will remain saved. Some sects call it once saved, forever saved. And some people understand it as the fact that if a person is saved, no matter what they do, Christ is committed to them. And so some people believe that if I'm born again, if I've been born again, even if I deny Jesus, some even said recently, even if I become a Muslim, even if I become a Muslim, I am eternally saved. The problem is, can the person who is genuinely saved decide to become a Muslim? Did you hear what I just said?
Yes,
Christ saves and saves eternally. But how do you know that you are part of those who are saved eternally? Christ is committed to keeping the saved. But how do you know that you are part of those who he is committed to? Because you may just be claiming what does not belong to you.
Mm.
This teaching, is it important?
Yes, sir.
You know, one of the reasons why I preach and I teach the way I do, my eyes have seen things that many will see later. On the 3rd of January 2017, I was in Makurdi. I was praying and I slept off and I had a dream. In that dream, I saw the Lord Jesus in the sky. And his mouth was not moving or anything, but he did something like this. And I began to see the rapture. I began to see people just disappear. And it seemed as though, I'm just saying it the way I saw it. It seemed as though anybody that looked to him and was a believer, without an act of your will, you will leave the ground. And in a moment, just the same way 1 Corinthians 15 said, people were just going up. Now, in 5 minutes, the entire world went into pandemonium because there were people driving cars and left. There were people directing a plane and left. There were people in taxis that left. There were people in cinemas. And it was just happening. Within 5 minutes, the entire world went into pandemonium. And I saw myself going. But you know how dreams are. I had gone up and halfway I came down. And I was like, what? Why am I coming down? But then I heard the Lord say to me, see. So I knew that the reason why I was coming down in that dream was not because I was not saved, was because God wanted me to see something. And I began to walk around. Everywhere became so dark. People gathered under fueling stations where there were light. There was light and all of those kind of things. And then I passed the billboard of a church. And then I saw something.
I believe that was what God wanted me to see. People picked up stones and began to stone the billboard. They were stoning. Stoning. They were saying, these are the men that deceived us. Instead of them to talk about Christ and salvation, it was all about money. They were stoning. They said it was money in the morning, money in the afternoon, money in the evening. Does money have an important place in the Bible? Of course. Of course. Anybody that tells you that God does not have any plan for your prosperity and has no plan for your healing is just lying to you. You cannot be holier than God. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
But you see, there are some things called weightier matters. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Weightier matters. And they were stoning. In fact, there were some pastors who were not born again. And one pastor said, you know, I'm a pastor. I want to preach. As he started preaching, they beat him. They beat this man. Me, I just quietly was moving around. I even feel like in that revelation, they didn't even know I was moving around. And then I was hearing a song in that revelation. Something like, rapture, 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 rapture. He's knocking at your door. I'm telling you. Do you know what? I woke up from that dream thinking about it. One of my friends who was also, we were serving together, James. When I woke up and I was panting, he was asking me, David, what's the matter? I said, I just had a dream about rapture. Guess what? He told me, I just woke up from a dream about rapture too. He said, tell me your own. Let me tell you my own. I was so convinced that year that was the year Jesus was coming. Nothing you fit tell me. Eh? You know those kind of dreams that when you wake up like, Father, thank you, it was a dream. So when I got called into ministry, in fact, that was this around the same period the Lord called me. I knew that you don't play with things like this. But guess what? There are people that will go to church January to February and some people, what I'm talking about is a strange phenomenon to some ears. You know what I'm talking about, right? I'm not saying it to prove that we are better than anyone or virtue signaling. I'm just saying how important this is. How do you know that you are part of those that Jesus is committed to? How do you know? Why is it that so many Christians are living their Christianity in fear? There is perpetual fear. Once you talk about salvation and rapture and the coming of Christ, hey! There was a time people even talking about those things scare people. Who knows what I'm talking about, right? People are just afraid. Why? Do you think God wants you to live your Christianity in perpetual fear? And, you know, people even say things, people say things like, you don't even know the sin that will take you to hell. Have you heard that one before? Please, have you heard that one before?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Just imagine, you wrote an exam. You scored 50 over 100, or let's say 45 over 100. You go and meet the teacher and say, Ma, I got 45 over 100. Please, can you show me where I failed? And then you scan through the marking script. You got everything. And teacher said, even though you got everything, you don't know what you actually did. There's something you did that made you to fail. He says, please, can you tell me that thing I did? He says, it's too deep for you to understand. Please, are you following me?
Yes,
yeah. Then you'll be wondering, what do you mean it's too deep? So there is something that you actually did before the exam started that made you fail the exam. All kinds of things. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So, Christ saves and Christ keeps all those he has saved. But the question now is, how do you know you are part of those he has saved? That gives rise to the doctrine of assurance. Say after me, the doctrine of assurance. Say it again, the doctrine of assurance. So what is assurance? Assurance is that inward confidence that a person has in Christ's work of salvation. Can you say after me? Assurance is the inward confidence that we have in Christ's work of salvation.
Say it again. Assurance is that inward confidence a person has in Christ's work of salvation. Glory. You know, apart from the instances I gave about this, this is one of the major things that young Christians struggle with. So, when you see a person who wants to genuinely serve God, and maybe you are trying to keep a streak of what they call holiness streak, say, I don't want to get angry with anybody. Oh. And then something happens, you lose your temper. Or you fall into a sin. And after a while, you start feeling, does God really still see me as his child? You are struggling with the idea of, maybe I did something and God has canceled me. Some of you, you know what I'm talking about. You feel like you did something years ago. And even though you believe that you have asked God for forgiveness and maybe God has forgiven you, but somewhere in your mind, God is looking at me like this. You think I've forgotten, have you? No, be going on. Don't worry, I will remind you. That's what we think. And so, you know, people have even told me, I don't think I am still a child of God. Even if I pray, even if I speak in tongues, even if I have the Holy Ghost, I think that I did something, and no matter how much I prove to God that I love him and I believe in what he has done, maybe God still looks at me in a certain way and has counseled me. Do you know there are people that struggle with things like this? Some of you right now hearing my voice may even be struggling with this. They feel bad about their sin. Maybe they are struggling with a habit. And they feel bad about their sin. They feel bad about this habit. And they are like, if I've been this bad, God no reason me again. Sometimes, it's because of the challenges people face. The challenge reveals their instability with assurance. When a person says things like, I don't think I'm a child of God. Because if I'm a child of God, I shouldn't be going through this kind of thing. Who knows what I'm talking about? If I'm really God's child, no. This shouldn't be happening to me. So let's look into it. God, help us. Receive speed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So how do you know you are a child of God? John chapter 1 from verse 11 to 12. The Bible says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Glory! So, I want to ask you, number one, do you believe on his name? Who remembers Sunday service? Say after me, I believe in the Lord Jesus. I believe on his name. As many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That word power, you can translate it as rights, authority. He gave them the rights to become the sons of God. He gave them the authority to become the sons of God. As many as believe on his name. So number one, have you received him? If yes, he has given you the rights to become a son of God. Glory. Now look at Galatians 4 verse 6. Put these two texts together. And because ye are sons, God has sent the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying out, Father. So imagine you are putting John chapter 1 from verse 11 to 12 and Galatians 4 verse 6, where he says, as many as received him, he gave them the power to become the sons of God. And because you are sons, are you with me? Are you seeing what I'm doing there? And because you are sons, God had sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Glory. So that means, combining these two texts of the Bible, it is showing us that the Holy Spirit in the heart of the believer is proof that you are a son of God. Are you with me? The Holy Spirit in the heart of the child of God is proof that you belong to God. Look at 1 John chapter 4 verse 13. We are still corroborating this point and buttressing it. So you need to write this down. The Holy Spirit in the heart of the believer is proof that we have become sons of God. It's proof that we belong to God. Look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 13. Everybody, 1, 2, 3, go. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he had given us of his Spirit. Are you seeing this? Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. I am showing you this text so that you know exactly what to say. When somebody asks you, how do you know you are a child of God? Well, I know I dwell in him and he in me, because he has given me of his Spirit. I have believed on his name, I have received him, and he has given me the right to become a child of God. And because I am a son of God, he has sent the Spirit of his Son into my heart, crying out, Father, glory. You see, that Holy Spirit in your heart is what stirs you to cry out, Father. Now, if I wanted to throw more light into that, remember when I was talking about learning to worship God, that I did a medley for us to learn how to worship God. Let me tell you the truth. If you are actually carrying the Spirit of God, in your spirit will be a worship medley all the time. Many of you know what I'm talking about. You wake up with songs. Your spirit man gets its best excitement when you are in the mood of worshiping God. There is a desire to worship God. There's a desire to say, you are my Father. Say after me, Abba Father. Say Daddy. Daddy in heaven. Glory. So when you see a Christian who you say you are a child of God, or you say you believe in Jesus, when it's time for worship, you are struggling to express yourself. That's a sign. That's a sign that is either you are not saved or you are not properly healthy. To raise hands, we cry, Abba Father, hallowed be your name. Guess what? When they now see other people raising their hands or crying, they say, why are you doing too much? Why are you overdoing this thing? The problem is you are the one that is abnormal. You just don't know. Maybe you have been among abnormal people for a long time. You think your abnormality is normal. Sorry, I'm not here to fight anybody. I'm just explaining these things to you, right? Are you with me? So we know that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. Look at Romans 8 verse 9. Romans chapter 8 verse 9. Now I want everybody to read this with a loud voice as though there are 10,000 people here. 1, 2, 3, go. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Are you seeing this? If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. That's what he's saying. If any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to God. That's what he's saying. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So, once again, the presence of the Holy Spirit in a man is the proof that the person belongs to Christ. Glory. Glory! Let me show you one more. Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 12 to 13. Is this an important Bible study for those at the back? Is that an important Bible study? Okay. It says that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Verse 13. 1, 2, 3, go. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So now he's saying, when you package a good. Let me give you a good example. Have you ever bought a drink and they write on the drink, if you don't see this seal, don't buy. Or if you don't see this seal, don't accept. Or if you don't see this seal, return. Are you following me?
Yes,
so it's the company has told you ahead of time, we have a seal to prove that this product truly belongs to us. Or to prove that this product truly came from us, right?
Yes,
we have a seal that whenever you see that seal, you know that is our product. You know this product came from us. You know we are the ones that manufacture it. So if you don't see this seal, return the product, ignore the product, don't buy the product, right?
Yes,
he's telling you that the day you heard the gospel and actually believed, that gospel of your salvation, when it settled in your heart, God gave you the Holy Ghost as the seal. He gave you the Holy Ghost as the seal. He gave you the Holy Ghost as the seal. Say after me, I'm sealed. Glory. And guess what? They don't remove the seal until the product gets to the final destination. So that means as a believer, the Lord is not taking away the Holy Ghost from you until you come to heaven. Until you get to your final destination, the Holy Ghost is with you. Are you with me? Say after me, I'm sealed. Do you get it? You get it, right? So, I've shown you with this text of the Bible that the Holy Spirit in a man is the proof that he belongs to God. Is the proof that he is born again. Is the proof that he is saved. So the next question now is, how do you know that you have the Spirit? If the Holy Spirit is the seal, if the presence of the Holy Spirit is the proof that we are saved, that we are born again, and that we belong to Christ, how do you know that you have the Holy Spirit? You know, let me tell you something. One of the things I love the most about the Bible is clarity. It may look like it's muddled up, but if you can just read it, and many times, if you can just be in a church where it is properly explained, or have a Bible teacher that explains it to you, it's very clear. It's very clear. So how do you know that you have the Holy Spirit? Since the Holy Spirit in a man is proof that the man belongs to God, how do we know that the person has the Spirit? Galatians 5, verse 22. Galatians 5, verse 22. Everybody, 1, 2, 3, go. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, go on, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Are you with me? What does it mean, against such there is no law? When a person is manifesting this, you don't need to give him a law to make him act like a child of God. This thing is coming out from his spirit. Are you with me? But the fruit of the Spirit is love. So he's saying, if the Spirit is in you, the fruit of that Spirit within you, are you with me? We produce love. We produce joy. We produce peace. Glory. If the Holy Spirit is in you, there's a kind of love that you have to produce. Romans chapter 5 from verse 5. Romans 5 verse 5. It says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by what? Are you seeing what I'm showing you? Read it again. 1, 2, 3, go. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Oh, so that love for God, or the love of God, if the Holy Ghost is truly in your heart, the Holy Ghost will begin to spread that love. Are you with me? He will begin to spread that love for God. I talked about this thing some Sundays ago. Look at 1 Corinthians 16 verse 22. 1 Corinthians 16 verse 22. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 22. You should read, yes. It says, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be what? Anathema Maranatha. Now, anybody that knows Bible language, and Maranatha means come Lord, or the Lord is coming, right? The Lord cometh. And then anathema means condemned. Condemned. So he's saying, in essence, if any man does not love the Lord Jesus, let him be condemned at the coming of the Lord. Better, he's supposed to have said something like this. If any man does not believe in the Lord Jesus, he will be condemned at the coming. But he replaces believing with love. Because if you believe, you will love. Are you with me? Because if you believe, you receive the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Ghost is in you, he will cause you to love. There is something about the Holy Spirit in the heart of a believer that makes him unable to explain. There is a love towards God that cannot be explained. Something within you is saying, I love the Lord. There is something within me saying, God, you are everything to me. Are you with me? That's what is propelling all that we are doing. Why are we here? This thing is the engine behind the Christian faith. It's the engine. If you are saved, you will love God. But Pastor, I fell into sin. See, the reason why you can even feel bad about your sin is because you love God. Uh-huh. That's what you are not seeing. That you can actually care that I made a mistake and you feel bad about your mistake is because you love God. The man that does not love God does not care about his sins. He does not feel bad about his sins. See, let me tell you, it's also a bad sign when you are a Christian and you no longer feel bad about your mistakes. When you make a mistake, you see a Christian, you fell into many pornography and all of that, and before you will say, ah, God, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. But now you're like, you know, it's one of those things. Eh? Maybe you are becoming a reprobate. That you can still feel bad about your mistake is proof that you are healthy, that the work of the Spirit is still alive inside of you. Because it is love that is making you know that you have betrayed your lover. Let me ask a question. Have you ever, some Christians, if you are genuine Christians, you know what I'm talking about. Have you shouted at somebody before and you feel bad? Like, you lost your temper towards someone and the Holy Ghost within you was like, you overdo. Go on. The person is wrong, though. The person was the one that was deserving of the shout. But then, the spirit of love within you is saying, no. The fruit of the Spirit is love. What is love? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is... Are you getting me? So now, how... Kai. When I think about these things, we have serious issues. We have issues to tackle. Let me ask another question. Have you ever been in a place where they were talking bad about the church and you felt bad? Even though there are churches that have done really a lot of evil, there are pastors that need to be disciplined seriously. But you love God too much, in spite of the frailties of the church, you will not join the world to crucify the church. You know why? You love God. You cannot love God and hate his bride. Are you with me? Love towards God. Desire towards God. You will be interested in the things of God. You will be interested. If you love something, you will be interested in that thing. Are you with me? You'll be interested in the advancement of the gospel. How can you say you love God? No passion for the things of God. 1 year goes, you don't win any soul. You don't even think about it. You don't see anything wrong with it. Then there is a problem. It's either you are not saved or you are not healthy spiritually. Are you with me? You'll be thinking, how can the gospel advance? What can I do for the Lord? You will talk like David. What shall I render to God? What shall I render? Even in your worship, the way you demonstrate worship, it's proof that you love God. You love God. You are passionate about the things of God. Look at Colossians 3, verse 1 to 2. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ. Now, once again, he's giving you something to check. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ seated on the right hand of God. Oh, so if you are risen with Christ, he's telling you what you will do. You will begin to seek those things which are above. You will be interested in the things of the Spirit. There are some people, you talk about God, the Bible, things of God. If you ask them some chapters, some books of the Bible, they don't know. Obadiah, what's that? Say, what's that? Jehovah overdo, or what? He say, have you ever read any text from Deuteronomy? Okay, I will dethrone my enemies, Abby. Let me shock you. Who knows the book of Nahum? Who knows Nahum? Some people, they don't know where that one day. Where it be Nahum? Is it Noah or Nahum? But now, ask them about the players of Arsenal. They know. Pastor, don't go there. I will enter there. Ask them now, Inter Milan. Say, PSG. They know. See how still I am. If you ask me players now, I will tell you David Beckham, Cristiano Ronaldo, Messi, Lionel Messi, say, see, the Bona, che. They're excited. Come on. But that same passion, that same love, that same interest. That tells the next one. Oh, before we go there, let me still stay on this love matter. Love. Somebody asked a young man one day, this football that all of you like gathering in a place to watch, can't you watch it in your house? He said, the vibe is different. He said, no. And when we gather like that, the energy. He said, we as Arsenal fans now, if we gather like this, the energy. But that's the person I will tell you, I just pray at home. I just worship God at home. It's because you don't know the energy that comes when we come together. You don't know what happens when we come together. You don't know. Why did I say this? I will show you. If you love God, you will love those that love God. If you love God, somehow you will be interested in being close to those that are close to Him. One day I was counseling a lady that was struggling with hard drugs addiction. She said, I don't know what is wrong with me. I don't know what is wrong with all of us that are struggling with this thing. Anywhere we go in this country, we know ourselves. We just have a way of meeting. She said, I came to Abuja to begin a new life. I just saw somebody as I was passing by, say, ganja. You see, I looked at I was looking at him. I said, hey, this one has noted me. Hey, I didn't know when I did ganja. He said, you get anyone? Say, give me some small loud. Pastor, you. See, that's how I took small loud, and I've been able to reduce the loudness. Because, see, it's frequency. When you are in the same frequency, you will jam. Are you following me? If you love God, you will not say, why were you not in church for 3 weeks?
I was washing my clothes.
Hey! It's either you don't love God, or you love God, though, but you are not where you ought to be spiritually. You have your spiritual barometer, your health. If you will check you spiritually with a spiritual barometer, you are not where you ought to be. I think I should do a teaching, spiritual health.
Will there be times where you will be discouraged? Yes. Will there be times where you even feel like you are angry with God? Yes. Will there be times where you feel like you don't want to care a thing in the world about Christianity, about God? There will be times like that. But you know, the Bible says something in Jeremiah, in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 20. He says, I think from verse 9, he said, Jeremiah was a prophet talking, you know. He said, I made up my mind, I will not mention his name again. I said, I will not, thank you. Ah, Bible day inside me. This was Jeremiah the prophet. He said, I will not mention of him, nor speak anymore in his name, but see what happened. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones. There may be times where you'll be discouraged, but you see, the Holy Ghost within you will be like fire in your bones. Somehow, you will find yourself in church again. Ah, my God. If the Holy Ghost is there, you know, one day in our Port Harcourt church, we were having a worship all night and praying and singing. And there is one man, that man is a known, he they drink. Drinking, he they. People that will finish Sazen Brow and Benson and Hoogies. Cigarette, bah! He used to buy carton like this with packs. When somebody smoking three at once, you know that this one, he has moved from smoking to chimney. He's a chimney refinery. But guess what? We're worshiping and praying. The man came to the gate and was shaking the gate. He said, you are reminding me of something. Something. Hey! He said, you know why? He being born again, not of corruptible seed. The seed of Christ within him will not let him. So by the time you get to his frequency, you must respond to Christ. You belong to him. The Holy Ghost, as you are speaking, he's not smoking again. He's not drinking again. He's a believer. Serious Christian. Are you what I'm saying? So, how can you now say, if you love God and you're not interested in things of God, let me show you. Jesus, we are 7:44. Hey. Oh, we'll continue on Sunday. 1 John 3, verse 14 to 15. This one is strong. What I want to read for you is strong. He said, everybody, 1, 2, 3, go. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Yeah. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Verse 15. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Jesus. I love it. It's not around. I wanted to answer her question. Also, read 1 John 5 from verse 1. This same 1 John chapter 5. 1, 2, 3, go. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Do you know what he's saying? If you love God that created the new creature, you will love the creatures that he has created. Yes, so when a person is constantly absent from meetings of believers, when you are forcing them, you know, why did I begin all this teachings, Fame Foundation? There are many things we are trying to get from people as a response, which should be a natural response, if they actually have the substance. We are the ones trying to say, have tribes, home cell. In the early church, persecution was so much, yet the church did not say, let's not hold service again. No, let's not hold service again. Guess what they did? They started meeting in houses. Are you getting what I'm saying? They loved themselves so much. In fact,
History has it on record that when Christians were arrested, one of the things that convinced the Roman Empire, that shook the Roman Empire, they were wondering, what kind of spirit will bet the kind of love these guys have for themselves? There was a time, if you read history, there was a particular story that made me laugh. They arrested a brother because they caught letters of the apostles with him, put him in prison, and they were torturing him. When some believers heard, do you know what they did? They went to the station and said, we want to be prisoners too. The soldiers were like, what is wrong with you? They all entered the prison and became prisoners too. And started praying and worshiping. The other prisoners converted. Till the people that arrested them converted. Till the... Let me tell you, I am tired of plastic Christianity. If you don't join a tribe, you will not get married in this church. We don't do that kind of... That's why we don't do those things. Because the person now goes 3 months of the person's marriage. He now goes and drum one home, say. Say, ah, we have not seen you yet. Well, we thank God. He's playing you. When they now finally do the wedding, you miss them again because the thing, no day, no... They have not really connected to it. Are you with me? Oh, pastor, what about people who have been treated wrongly in church? What about... See, they will treat you wrongly, but the spirit is still the spirit. Oh, yes. That's why God does not have only one child. He has children, many of them. If one person treats you bad, it's not the whole church that treated you bad. It's that one person. Are you with me? Ignore that one person and go and look for other well-behaved children of God. Why didn't you resign from that, your wicked boss? That wicked colleague, that annoying colleague, but you are still there in that office. But everything is so, I'm teaching Christianity. I'm not a Christian again because of what one person did. If I tell you what some church girls have done here, you will pity for me. You will pity me. We have to stop here. Were you blessed? Yes, jump on your feet and give him praise.